Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Wednesday, and today we have Brother David Stroud from Douglas, Georgia. Before we get started, we're going to open up with a song, Blessed Assurance. And right after that, brother, it's all yours.
Blessed assurance. Amen. Amen. Like that song. Thank you, Shelly, for getting that ready for us. There's a video that accompanied that song, and I thought it was so great. This woman sitting in the chair singing that song, holding a little baby. And right at the end of that video, the biggest smile comes across that little fella's face, and it's just absolutely beautiful. It's beautiful. I liked it. So today, I've got just a few scriptures I want to share today. And I'll try to be fairly brief today. But before we get started, let's invite the Lord to come and bless his word this afternoon. Heavenly Father, once again, we come back to you this afternoon. As always, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and share out of your word today, Father. And Lord, as always, I'm just your servant. I'm just your servant. But Lord, if we follow your plan and we accept your challenges and your call, then we know, Father, that you're right in the midst of us, and we thank you. So Lord, just help me step back out of the way. And Holy Spirit, you come speak to us today. Come and speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to look at these, and I was reading a couple of pages out of a book here, and all of these scriptures are right here together, and as I was reading through these couple of pages, it just kind of dawned on me that some of these scriptures, they just seem to just go hand in hand together. So, and I thought, well, got to thinking about it and began to get some ideas in my head. And I always attribute that to God. He puts those there, not me. And so I want to start by this first scripture today. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And these are scriptures that we're all know. We all know these scriptures well. But Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Does God have a plan for us in life? Oh, yes, he does. Do we follow his plan? Today, I'm following his plan to the best of my abilities. But there were so many years in my life, I didn't even know he had a plan for me. There's a lot of folks out there today that do not realize that God has a plan for you today. He's got a plan for every one of you online today. He's got a plan for anyone who might hear this recording at some point. God has got a plan for your life. But you have to understand it's his plan. It's his plan. To do what? To prosper us and not to harm us. It's a plan to give us hope and a future. Now, if we think about that word prosper, what does that mean for to be prosper? To prosper, be prosperous in the world. It's look here just a minute and read you a few little definitions of a few words here. Let me find it. These dictionaries with this little bit of print in it. Let's see. Prosper. This little dictionary I got. Simply says to achieve success, to boom, flourish, or thrive. Well, if you think about those other words, to thrive simply means, here again, let me find it. I got it marked, but I didn't circle it. Well, there it is. Thrive simply means to prosper. That's the best way that I know how to say it. It means to prosper. It means to do well, to do well. It means to do well in life, if we're to prosper. But the word flourish, I looked that one up too because I was curious about that one. It basically says about the same, but what flourish says is to grow abundantly, to thrive, to do well, succeed, and prosper. I like the first definition that this dictionary of mine says, to grow abundantly. Well, I'm 68 years old, and I'm a little overgrown. Not as much overgrown as I used to be, but I'm still overgrown because I'm still a little overweight. So I have reached maturity in life, but I am still growing in my walk with Jesus Christ. If we're growing, we're flourishing. If we're growing, we're prospering. If we're growing with the Lord, we are successful in life. I don't care what comes. I don't care what kind of trials it comes our way. I don't care what the enemy might bring. And yes, the enemy brings things to our life. And we know, as we studied in the book of Job, that the Lord allows the enemy to come and bring those things into our life so that we can continue to grow and be prosperous and flourish because we learn how to trust in Him during those times. And we have to understand that things are coming. Here's another good verse for us today. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in Him. Chose us who? David Stroud. In who? Jesus Christ. That I would be holy and blameless before Him. Because in order to follow His plan, I have to find myself in that state of living a holy life and that I am blameless before the Lord in all that I do. And it's my job to try to keep myself in that holy and blameless state of life here on this earth today. Because we have to have that in order to be able to follow God's plan for us. Now, we were talking just a little earlier before we got started about gifts. It's some people's gifts to be able to sing. It's some people's gifts to be able to teach. It's some people's gifts to be able to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. It's some people's gifts to prophesy. There's gifts of healing. There's all manner of gifts that the Lord gives us that and we need to know what our gift is, and we need to be prosperous and flourish in the gifts that He has given us. And if we're doing that, we are on the road of the plan that God has for us. He gives the gifts, and they're there for us to take the gifts and use the gifts. If we don't use the gifts, we're not going to accomplish anything. We're not going to prosper. We're not going to abound. We're not going to flourish. For it's using the gifts, because these gifts are given to reach others with. These gifts are given to inform others. These gifts are given to be able to talk to people and tell them how to find Jesus Christ and the plan that He's got for them. And so we have to understand that He had this plan before the foundation of the world was even laid. This goes way back beyond our time. Our time is today. Our time is right now. But his plan for us goes way back before we were ever even conceived. Before the first "let there be" was ever spoken, this was God's plan for us. Sometimes some never realize that he's got a plan. Some never realize what his plan is. Some come to his plan at a very early age. Some come later. Some come at a point near death. They realize what the plan is. I'm a kind of a middle of the road who came in the middle of life. Thank God. I found out that he had a plan for me when I was much younger than I am now. And today I could say I've been working hard following his plan. And I think a lot of y'all on this line today could say the same thing. But guys, there's folks out there that ain't figured out he's got a plan yet. And if we're going to follow his plan, we need to be prospering and flourishing and abounding and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and using the gifts that he's given us as seed to sow. And think about this. All of these gifts, if they're not sown and they don't fall on good ground, they'll never produce fruit. Gifts are what God gives us that produce fruit for the kingdom of God. And if we're sowing our gifts or sowing our seed, it will fall on good ground. Not all of it. You know, the Bible's kind of specific about that. Not all of it will fall on good ground. Some of it will get choked out. Some of it will fall on the rocky places. Some of it, the birds will come along and eat it. But there will be seed that you sow that will fall on fertile soil that will put down roots one day. God can't just say, okay, you're saved. They have to be encouraged to come. They have to be taught to come. They have to hear this truth that comes out of the Word of God. And we all have gifts to sow the seed of the gifts that we find in the Word of God. So I'd ask you today, are you sowing that seed out there day by day as you go? As you prosper, as you grow, as you flourish in this walk with Jesus Christ, because that's what he's called us to. That's his plan for us. Oh, his plan goes way beyond that, because he says that plan is to give you hope and a future. And let me just tell y'all today that the hope has already been provided through Jesus Christ, because he is our hope. Our hope is in him. And our hope is that they will have that future that he's talking about here, where we find ourselves standing in the presence, or maybe even on our faces in the presence of God himself when we enter in to that eternal home that he's going to prepare for us. That is our future. Tomorrow comes. Tomorrow's the future. The day after tomorrow, it'll come, and that'll be another day of looking towards the future. That's in the future. Today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year. We don't know when our future here on this earth is going to cease to be anymore. But as long as we have the hope in our future, should death come today, we'll know what our future is. We'll know our future for sure. It's that blessed assurance. That song just fits today. That blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. But there's a blessed assurance in my heart today that I am his. He has purchased me. He's bought me. He's called me. He's scooped me up out of the pit. And he put me on solid ground. So I'm well on my way to my future. That he talks about here in Jeremiah. Here's another verse to go along with today. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Think about that one. We get up in the morning and we make plans for the day. We make plans for the future. We're planning on going on vacation at the end of next week and be gone from next Friday to the following Friday when we come back home. That's our plan. But the Lord guides our steps. Why does he guide my steps? Because it's part of his plan that he has made for me. And if some reason or another the plan gets changed, then God has a purpose in changing that plan. If your plans for today don't go like you had laid the day out, then God had a purpose to change your plans today if you're allowing him to guide your steps. So it's imperative that we know that God's got a plan and we understand that we are immersed in God's plan and that we're allowing him to guide our steps. We can make our plans. Nothing wrong with that. We have to plan what we're going to do. A plan, if we're still working, you have to have a game plan for the day. So often I've seen God change the plans right in the middle of the highway because he directs my steps. And if I had a breakdown and had to spend a couple of hours on the side of the road, maybe the plan was to keep me out of harm's way for a couple of hours, that the Lord knew there was a trap down the road that Satan had laid. Let me tell you something. When you think your change has been messed up, your plans have been messed up today, things change, and it ain't going your way today. It might just be going God's way today for you. Because he looks out for his children. He takes care of his children. He meets his children's needs. He protects his children. When you think about this, y'all, everybody on the slide's got children. Ain't that what we do where our children are concerned? Aren't we concerned about their health, their well-being, their finances, their marriages, our children's children? Don't we pray and ask God to take care of all of them from day to day? We can't direct their steps, but we can give them to God and let God direct their steps. We can train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart, and they'll be in God's plan the whole time. Guys, there's youngins out there that have never heard the name Jesus Christ. There's youngins out there that could probably cuss a lot better than a well-experienced man or woman that spent a lifetime living in sin. Doing things out, not be doing, saying things out, not be saying. There's seed to be sown into their lives also. Well, think about that little baby sitting on her mom's lap and her singing Blessed Assurance and that big smile. I'm telling you, that just, what an encouraging sight. She's doing all she can do. Those parents are doing all they can do. If that child knows what God's plan is, and that child's steps will be ordered by God at his very beginning. It says down here, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. It's not God's plan to hurt us. It's not his plan to kill us. We go back into the days of the wilderness there back in Exodus, and we see what was going on within the nation of Israel wandering around out there in the wilderness those 40 years, and how many times they fell into sin and fell into idolatry and turned away. And Moses up on the mountain meeting with God to get the Ten Commandments, and they're down there. Well, where is he at? Has God killed him? Has he left us all out here to die? We need a God to worship. God was very distraught about that. Some of them had to die in the wilderness. The parent generation did not see the promised land because that was their punishment for the disobedience. It wasn't God's plan to do that. They chose to allow the enemy to come into the camp and lead them astray. That still takes place in the world today. What is the enemy has a plan for us, y'all. God's not the only one that has a plan. The enemy's plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we get out of God's plan, that opens the door for Satan to come in with his plan, and he starts out so sweet and so loving and so kind and so gentle until he gets us to that place that he takes us completely out of the will of God. And then he begins to activate his plan in your life, to kill you, to steal you away from God is for one thing, and steal what God has for you, to steal your prosperity, to steal your joy, to steal your peace, even to bring death to you. That's the enemy's plan. It's not God's. Being in God's plan, he allows the enemy to come in and create trials and troubles so that we can continue to trust in God and continue to grow and flourish and prosper in God's plan. How many times have we seen a storm blow up all of a sudden? And the wind gets hard and the rain beats against us and it's lightning and it's thundering and it seems like that everything's just going to perish. And yet God is right there and he brings us through it. So we go back and think about Paul in the boat with that whole crew and they were out in the ocean and that storm came up. I think we heard Brother Bill just talking about that. And yet, he told Paul, tell him, don't worry, I've got y'all. No man will perish here. I'm taking care of y'all. And that's exactly what he did. Why? Because Paul was in God's plan. And because Paul was in God's plan, and he was there at God's guidance of his footsteps, so that he could minister to the crew of that ship during that time and tell them that the Lord has told me this, and then let them see that the God that Paul served came through with his promise. God comes through with his promises. He don't promise us anything in vain. If he said it, it's a promise, and it will come to pass. We might get down and out. Years may pass, and we think, Lord, I guess that promise is there. I'm going to ever see that promise. But it will come to pass if it's a promise that God has given you, as long as you're walking in his plan. Sometimes we can detour that promise by getting outside of the plan of God and allow Satan to come in and vex us. When we get back into God's plan, we're on the right track again. Life has its moments like that. I've experienced those. I've got outside of the will of God, and nothing seemed to work. Nothing seemed to get done. Nothing that I needed to take place seemed to take place. Everything was just going the opposite direction But then I would come to myself, just as the that wayward son came to himself there at the hog pen. I'll go back to the Father. He's got plenty. And I'll just go back and be a servant. Well, when I come back to God, I come back as the servant. Because I am the servant. Oh, yes, the Word says that we're His sons and daughters. But we should look at ourselves as we're the Lord's servants today, because we serve Him. Because that's what His plan is for us, to be servants. And we serve others to serve Him in every way that we can maintain this plan with Him. Another scripture that I saw, that I read it along here with these, and this goes back to Matthew chapter 11, verses 29-30. And this was published here in the Amplified Version. I kind of like the Amplified Version. I keep telling myself I'm going to go buy me one of those, but sometimes I find it and read some out of it. And basically, it more or less gives a better interpretation of the Greek that most of the New Testament was written in, because that was one of the prevalent languages where the beginning church, where the church began, and all of the missionary trips that Paul and the other disciples made. And a lot of that was written in the Greek language. But here the Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne." And I like the way that's put there, because if we think about it, his yoke is not hard. It's not harsh. It's not sharp. It's not pressing. But it is useful, and it is good for us. It's comfortable. We talk about being in our comfort zone. We should think about, as we're in this yoke with Jesus Christ, it's a comfortable place. It should be a comfortable place for us to be, because we find comfort in knowing that we're yoked to the one who has all of the answers, who has life itself, who has given life, who can meet every need that we have. We're yoked, and that yoke should be a comfortable. And God is gracious to us as we're yoked together with Him. His grace is sufficient for us. And as we're yoked in a comfortable place, and His grace abounding in our lives, then that place should be a pleasant place to be. Are you in a pleasant place with the Lord Jesus Christ today? If you're not, something's wrong. Something's gone amiss. We need to find ourselves understanding we're comfortable, and this is a pleasant place, and God's grace is bounding upon us, and His burden is light. Why is it light? Because He is the stronger of the two in the yoke, and He can carry what we can't. We cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. We don't have to carry that burden. We immediately give it to, Lord, I can't bear this. I'm giving it to You. You take this for me. You bear this for me today. You carry me today because I need You to. And this yoke and this burden is easily to be borne. In other words, it's easy for us to carry it because He's carrying the bulk of that weight as we go along with Him. I think these few scriptures today could possibly bring somebody to salvation if we could just share these scriptures together like this. because it lays out for us who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and what he's able to do for us in life. And the more understanding we have about the Word of God, the more understanding we have about scriptures like this right here, how they apply in my life, how they apply in y'all's life, how they apply to that lost soul out there in the world that just needs some information. You know, we live in the age of information, but the best way to get that information across is face-to-face, one-on-one, a time to just minister to someone's need, to pray for somebody, to talk to them about Jesus, to talk to them about how they can become a Christian, and they have this great and mighty God and his Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior that can forgive them for all of their sins and bring them into a right relationship and help them along this road of life that we all struggle so with. For it's God's plan. And to be in God's will is to be right in the middle of his plan, that he had this plan before the foundation of the world was laid. That tells me how amazing God is. That this plan came before I came before any of us came. It was already in place when he created all things. And his plan has been in place since the very beginning. You can go to the first verse of the first chapter of Genesis, and God's plan was already in place right there. And it's been in place all the way through this scripture, and it's been in place ever since Adam and Eve were created by him. And it's still in the world today. And it's available today, readily available. God sitting on his throne, desiring that everyone would come join in his plan. For that's the heart of God, that none should perish. The consequences of sin is death. The soul doesn't die. The body does. The soul goes on. But the promise for the future that his plan gives us is Jesus Christ. We put our hope and our faith and our trust in him. And we know what our future is because his word explains it. It's all laid out for us. And we can share that as a seed to sow to the lost. How that he's got this plan and how it's laid out. And what we have to do to be able to get into his plan. There's a lot of things in life, that you can join in this plan here. I've got this plan right here from United Healthcare for my Medicare insurance. That's the best plan they had for me. But it ain't nowhere near what God's plan is for me. It's a good plan, but it ain't nowhere near what God's plan is for me. God's plan is so much better. But because I need insurance, then guess what? He took me to the right place, to the right one, to lay this plan out for me and tell you this is the best plan that I know of in your area that you can join in. So I joined in. There's other plans that you can join in too, other things that go on out there. Sometimes you can join some kind of plan and it winds up being a heartache and a hardship and leave you walking around saying, boy, I wish I'd have never got in mixed up in that mess. The only plan that you need to submit yourself to completely, totally, 100% is this plan that God has got for us. Because that plan won't fail you. It won't leave you empty. It won't leave you laying on the battlefield bleeding out your lifeblood. If we get wounded in the battlefield we're in here, it's that spiritual battlefield. God will pick us up. He'll heal our wounds. And he'll give us rest. And he'll give us peace. And he'll put us back complete and whole. Back into the fight, so to speak. I got one other scripture I want to read today. And that'll wind us up today. Let me get over here to it. It wasn't with this group of scriptures, but it's one that the Spirit dropped in me while I was looking at this. And y'all know this one well, too. It's out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he said this: "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, having read that and thinking about what he's just said, our minds are like computers in a sense, and they're constantly going. Mine is. I'm bombarded with stuff all day long, thoughts of this and thoughts of that, and stuff from God, and stuff with what's going on in life that's going on with me, and even the enemy puts a few fiery darts in there, and my mind is constantly clicking, tick, 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 tick. And I could just see the gears in there just grinding. Sometimes I just have to sit down, be quiet, and shut up and let my mind unwind. I think we all need that. And that's a real good time when you're sitting being quiet. And get everything out of your mind and begin to think on these things. These things that Paul just listed out here. Think on those things. Well, what are these things? Let's look at them again. Whatsoever things are true. Well, what is truth? God is truth. His word is truth. Think on God. Think on his word, and you're thinking on things that are true. There's so many lies and so much deceit going on out there in the world today, it can become a sea that you can drown in. But if we're thinking on things that are true, our mind is on God. Our mind is on the Lord. Our thought process is going in a different direction. Whatsoever things are honest or honorable, you could call it honorable. God is honorable. God is an honest God. He cannot tell a lie. Like I say, there's so many people out there that would rather stand in a mirror and lie to themselves if they didn't have anybody else to lie to, because they love to lie. They love to indulge in things that are not good. They might think about, well, you know, I could take one of those wrenches home with me and they'd never miss it. Or I could slip in there and get me a handful of them nuts and bolts out of the bin in the shop out there and stick them in my pocket. Wouldn't nobody know I had them? That's not being honest. There's a lot of other things that you can do that are not honest. Trying to sell somebody a piece of swamp land and tell them it's the most beautiful place, and you're not asking much for it, and get them to buy it from you. That's just one example. This was just what came to my mind. Whatsoever things are just. What is just? What's that mean? Right. God is a just God. He is our righteous judge. We're to judge things through the eyes of God. If we're going to judge anything, we need to judge it as what God would do. Sometimes we're so quick to jump out there and judge somebody just because of the way they look, or just because of the way they act, or just because of what color they might be. You're gonna pass judgment on somebody. We don't have the authority to do that. We are to present ourselves as just people in the world. meaning that we do it according to God's plan. We're not going out there and accusing and judging people wrongly and then having to answer for it at some point in our lives. The old saying goes, you don't judge a book by its cover, but you judge the book by what the content of it is. Sometimes the cover don't look too good, but when you get down to the heart, it could be entirely different, and you've judged wrongly, not justly. We should never be quick to judge. But if we do have to judge something, we have to judge it based upon what the Word of God says concerning whatever it is that we need to judge it by. If it lines up with God's Word, then it's good. If it doesn't, leave it alone. Get away from it. Let me see here. Whatsoever things are pure. What is pure? Undefiled. God is pure. The Lord Jesus Christ is pure, undefiled, uncorruptible. God is love, and it's pure love. Pure is perfect. Think on the things that are perfect, the things we find out of this Word of God, the things that we find in this walk with Jesus Christ. The things that we find our brothers and sisters in their labors doing for the kingdom of God. And doing it with pure hearts, undefiled and uncorrupted hearts. Not for any gain for ourselves, but for the gain of the kingdom of God. Whatsoever things are lovely. Well, there's a lot of lovely things in the world. I would say that from cover to cover, this Word of God is one of the most lovely pieces of literature in the entire world today, because it is beautiful. It's a beautiful story. It's beautiful words. There's beautiful promises made to us. There's other promises made to us that are meant as a warning for us that we ought not go that way. And when you get to the final amen of it, you realize, man, what a beautiful plan God has laid out for me, for all of us. And it's pure. But we have to be pure to follow His plan. So we strive to be pure, that we can do it according to God's plan and with that pure heart that we need to do it. Even David wrote a song, Lord, Lord, make me pure, clean my heart. Get all of the corruption out of it. This is a South Georgia David Stroud paraphrase of that. Help me not be found with a corrupt and a decaying heart. Whatsoever things are of good report. We get a lot of good reports in the world today. We get a lot of bad reports. We get a lot of bad news. We get some good news. When it comes to a report, I choose to follow God's plan. Back over yonder where we find that scripture that it says, we'll believe the report of the Lord. For His report is good. His report is righteous. His report is life. His report is healing. His report is prosperity. His report is a life eternal, dwelling with Him in glory. That's God's report. These are things Paul is telling us to think on these things. Think about these things that will help you maintain your walk in the place in His plan that you're at each and every day. with thinking on the things of God, our mind began to put everything else aside and begin to dwell upon God and Jesus Christ and the scriptures and the promises he's made and even those things that he's called us to do in life, the gifts that he's given, the ministry that we're involved in. We can begin to think about those things. Lord, what can I do for you in this right here? As I'm sitting here thinking on these other things and thinking about you, Lord, if it's something else I need to be doing, show me what it is. And if you go that route, be prepared. Be prepared, because he will show you, because it's part of his plan for you. If there be any virtue, what's virtue? Power. If there's any power, where's that power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. That virtue is in us because we've received it, we've been baptized in it, we live in it, we walk in it, and everywhere we go, he goes. And if there's any power of the Holy Ghost in us, and if there be any praise, should there be praise? Yes, there should. Walking in God's plan, answering his call, living this life for Jesus Christ, immersed in the ministry that he's called us to, going where our guided steps takes us, where he's concerned, there should be praise. When we get up in the morning, we should praise God. When we lay down at night, we should praise God. And we should find opportunities all day long to praise God, because we know what he's done. We know who he is. We know how he has rescued us time and time again. We know how he has brought us from death's door to eternal life. You can always find a reason to praise God. So there should be power and there should be praise walking in God's plan. And he said, if those things exist, then think on these things. All of these things, these are keys to help us to stay in God's plan. Thinking on these things that are, I'm going to use the word attributes for our God today. These things here in verse 8, Paul has listed, this is who God is. This is what God is. And if we find ourselves understanding that, then let's think on these things and let's offer up the praise and let the power of the Holy Ghost continue to work through us as we go, yielding to the Spirit, because that's part of the step that you're taking as he guides our footsteps. It's not a hard yoke. It's a comfortable place. And the burden really don't weigh us down, because we have the one who's carrying it for us. Amen. Well, I'm going to end it right there today. I believe that's about all the Lord has given me today. So I'm going to end it right there. But as always, I want to take the opportunity to offer the plan of salvation today. And so if you're on the line today, if you find this recording somewhere and pick it up and you happen to be listening to it and you've never made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, but if something's been said today that has sparked something in your heart, then I would like to say today that it's a simple process to be able to know Jesus Christ. He didn't make it complicated. He made it simple. Well, there's a few things that we have to do. Number one, we have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. He was sent here, born in this world as a little baby, lived and walked as a man on this earth, and he went about doing good deeds and performing miracles and teaching the things of God. And when his time came, he was severely beaten and hung on a cross, and he died. Was placed in the tomb. But on the third morning, the Spirit re-entered the body, and he came up out of that tomb alive and well, whole. That was Jesus Christ. Today, he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he's making intercession for us. That means he is standing in the gap between me and God today. And he's standing in the gap between you and God today. And so if you can believe those things, then the rest of it's a simple process. You have to pray and ask him for forgiveness and ask him for salvation and ask him for his Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to do that. And so let's just pray. I'm going to pray a little prayer here. You can follow along with the prayer. You can use it as a guide. As long as it comes from your heart, you're sincere, and you're desiring to know Jesus Christ, then you can find him today. Heavenly Father, we do come this afternoon once again giving you thanks for the opportunity to be here today, giving you thanks for your word today, Father, and thanking you, Lord, for those that have come to join with us today. And Father, we ask you to continue to bless each one, to go with each one, watch over each one, keep each one safe, their families, all that concerns their life, Father. And Lord, today, as we pray this prayer of salvation, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe that you came in this earth as a man, and you died on that cross, and you bled all of your life blood out so that I could be forgiven of my sins. So I ask you today, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior today, and help me get on this path that would be the plan of my life today. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit to help me along this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Shelley?
Amen. Good message today, brother. If you just prayed that prayer with Brother David, you just made the best decision of your life. If you didn't, and you wanted to, maybe you still have some questions. Maybe you just need somebody to talk to or pray with you. You can call Pastor Skip at 816-729-6649. We'd love to hear from you, send you some literature and the Bible for free to help you out with your new walk with the Lord. We can also get you on our mailing list if you'd like to start receiving our CDs on a regular basis for free. Or you can go to extendedhandsofgod.org, and on there you'll find all our contact information. We also have a free app you can download to your iPhone or your Android by searching Extended Hands of God at your app store. And you can share all this with your friends and family. And thank you again for joining us at Extended Hands of God, Highway Ministries, and God bless.